I've got a title here, and we're going to call our teaching The Removal of the World from Our Hearts. The Removal of the World from Our Hearts. I think one of the main aspects of our walk as Christians and overcomers, those wise virgins, is God is working our affection, our relying upon the world, its lies, its deceptions, its seductions, all of these things. That is a process that God has to open our ears and eyes and heart to. We don't get this immediately. You have to walk with God. You have to be consecrated in prayer and the word, and eyes fixed upon the Lord. And we soon begin to learn that God's ways are not the ways of the world. In fact, he tells us in the word that if we love the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. So we need to be aware of how God works this within us and not to resist the Holy Spirit. It is so easy to resist him, or we will leave it, I'll face it another day. But every day is a walk with God where he is wooing us away from this world, our relying upon it, our being sustained by it, feeding from it. We are of another kingdom. This is why Jesus introduced the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we are being taught and prepared for a future kingdom and life, an eternal life. One of the things this world cannot give is eternity. And so the idea or the philosophy of life is to enjoy it while you have it and go out and have fun. And that is the idea and thinking. But you see, that is simply revealing that man doesn't want to face the fact that one day he's going to take his last breath and he doesn't know what lies behind it. We do. We know our destiny. We know what God has ordained us to and for. We also know in the word very clearly those who are not in Christ, where they will go. So we must allow the Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Spirit, in which to work that separation. And there are times that we're going to be tested. God is going to test our affections. He's going to test the heart where it truly lies. There are times I wish God wouldn't do it, but we have to go through much trial and temptation and testing in which to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And when God does allow us to be tried and tested, and we come through the tests, what it does, it simply confirms and strengthens our faith. It reveals how God doesn't make a mistake in those whom he calls from the foundation of the world, and that how we are kept by the power of his Spirit. But he has to allow us to be tried and tested in areas so that we can understand and learn more of how God works, how he keeps us and provides for us, else we won't know. We will take it for granted. And overcomers are going to be on their guard with regard to the trials and tests of the world, our affections, our desires, where they lie. And overcomers are going to always be asking God in prayer for help, guidance, protection. Keep me from the evil one, from temptation, as is in the Lord's Prayer. It is something that we have an insight, a revelation to. And that insight and revelation is that I do not trust my heart. I can only trust my heart that is found in Jesus Christ, who is the strength of my heart, my flesh. I wish to God that more Christians had understanding and revelation of that. And when you begin to see that, you begin to make it a source of prayer and intercession. You are beginning to understand how God will work on our behalf, how he will give his angels charge, how he will place that hedge of protection around us, how we will experience the blessings of, say, Psalm 91, and so on. The reason that Christians don't have the consecration on their life that they should, because they have never really been asking for the right things or priority in prayer. Of course, there are things that we can ask for, but there's priority in prayer. There are prayers that are very important and take priority. Prayers where we ask for God's protection, his preservation, where he will keep us from the enemy, from the evil one, where he will strengthen us in our weaknesses. All of this we have to acknowledge, and it can only be seen when we bow the knee, when we humble ourselves before him. If we have any self-assurance that I am doing well as a Christian, I'm on my way to glory, greater is he that is in me, and we've all heard it, we've said it probably in the past, it has to take breakings. It has to take a realization, an opening of the eye, that I'm not quite as smart and as strong as I think. In fact, I'm very vulnerable. And the enemy knows the vulnerable areas of my life. And so we make that a priority with our prayers, with our dialogue with God. You know, any saint that sincerely and honestly says, Father, never let me go. Whatever it takes, please, never let me go. You know, your heavenly Father who loves you with a father's love is going to move, if need be, heaven and earth to keep and maintain that prayer. So these are the areas how we grow, how we mature, and why it is that we're still here today, coming, listening to the word and fellowship. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, the renewal, the removal of the world from our hearts. A familiar story, let's turn to it, to Genesis 18. You know this very well, but Abraham, he had to go through this. He had to learn. He's a pilgrim called to walk by faith before God. God's revealing himself to him, making promises. But he's meeting a decision, and he has to choose. And let's take it up from Genesis 18 and verses 16 through to 23. Genesis 18. Verses 16 through to 23. And here we see where the removal of the world, the love of the world, causes one to intercede. You see, they've separated Lot and Abraham. Lot has chosen the plains of the Jordan. Looks good. A blessing. Abraham has chosen to stay where he is. And he finds himself interceding and supplicating for his nephew. And it goes on. Then the men rose from and looked towards Sodom, Abraham, and went. Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." So, should it be hid from his eyes? What is going to happen? That God is going to destroy these cities. And he says, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." And the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it and has come to me, and if not, I will know." Then the men turned away from them and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord, and Abraham came near and said, "Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" So he's picked up, Lot there, his family are there, and God is going to destroy it, and he's going to send the angels down. And the first thing he begins to do, he doesn't gripe and moan. "What shall we do? I'm fearful. What's going to happen to my family?" He turns to God in prayer. And he's in dialogue. And we know the story so well. Will you save the righteous, even if there's just a handful, a remnant there? Will you save them before you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And the Lord is testing him, and the Lord is showing him the mercy and grace of God, that he will indeed save his family. This is why, of course, we intercede and pray for our family, that God will bring them out of this world, that God will have mercy. You see, we have to discern the times that we live in. We have to hear what the Spirit is saying. The Lord is coming soon, and we are now, like Abraham, interceding that God, before the judgments fall, God will redeem them. He will bring them in. He will have mercy over my family. If God did it for Abraham, and we are the seed of Abraham by faith, then how much more through Jesus Christ will God do it for our family? It's all there in the Word of God to help and encourage us. And here we read in verse 32 of the same chapter, "Then he said, 'Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak once more. Suppose 10 should be found there.' And he said, 'I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place." There's the grace and love and mercy of God saving a remnant. And then we know the story of where the angels go down in which to warn Lot, his family, warn them to come away because God is going to destroy. Sodom is desperately depraved. It's wicked. It's interesting that Sodom consisted of quite a few cities. We believe about five cities that make up all the plain of the Jordan. It actually reveals that it was a very pleasant, likable place with gardens. It had culture. It was sophisticated. It was fertile land for farming, harvest. It was a land of great potential in that sense. Sounds a bit like the world that we live in and where we certainly live in this country. But the problem was it was perverted, unclean, rebellious. And God had got to destroy it. We're also very aware, Lot in comparison to Abraham, Lot makes some bad decisions because he chooses to live there. He's choosing to go by what he sees, what he feels, his emotions, what is in his heart. Whereas Abraham isn't so bothered. It doesn't bother him where he lives because he gives the choice to Lot, as we know, and he remains where he is. And remaining where he is, he was in that place where he could intercede and supplicate for them. Lot couldn't do that, but Abraham could, because he chose God's way and not his feelings, his emotions. He desired the will of God. And it always has to be with an overcomer, the will of God. And of course, we can say that, and many Christians do say that. They know that the will of God is important, but allowing and living the will of God, that is what sorts out the men from the boys. And it's very important. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So that's why God also has to separate us. Company, immoral company, evil company will have an influence on us if we continue to remain with them. Now, of course, we will meet company. We are in the presence of people, family, and whatever. But we have to be on our guard not to get too involved, but to be able to also walk away. And this is very important for an overcomer. And again, this is where we have to call on the grace of God, because we like company. We like people. We like to socialize. But we have to be on our guard, because it can draw us away. They don't think and act like we do. They don't believe like we do. They're not interested like we are in the Lord. And so it is limited with regard to family, friends, and so on. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to help us, to teach us, but above all, to be a witness to seek those opportunities of which to share our faith and the kingdom of God. So again, we clearly realize, don't we, how utterly dependent we are on the Holy Spirit and how he's come into our lives in which to take over and live his life through us. And so we must yield to the Spirit to allow him to do these things, because naturally speaking, we are not strong enough. We're weak. We're vulnerable. And the enemy knows how at times to trap us in situations. And you know, much of society and people today have so much baggage, so many problems, that you can't get too involved with the world and people. Of course, we are to show them love and mercy and compassion and to help where we can. But you cannot get involved with them, because you will find if you do, their baggage, their problems, the world will start to influence and it will start to crush you. So we need to be very sensitive on our guard with regard to this in our consecration before the Lord. So God has mercy on Lot. And we know the story of how they go down there and they're not sure whether to leave and so forth. But in the end, it's virtually where they take them by the hand, they pull them away. They haven't much time. Fire and brimstone is coming down and they are warned by the angels not to look back, but to go forward to a place that God was going to take them to, as they haven't much time. And we know the story where Lot's wife, she turned back when she was told not to and immediately turned into a pillar of salt. What does that display? What does that tell us? It tells us her heart, her affections were still in Sodom and Gomorrah. It wouldn't have happened otherwise. But God has mercy on Lot, and he reveals the different heart between Lot and his wife. There is the hearts that are revealed. And that's why Christians at times try and live as close as they can to the world and use all the excuses in which to justify. But we have to be on our guard and we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work daily that separation unto himself. Because it is done by the power of the Spirit. And that's why Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. And what does that signify? If you get too close to the world, you are going to perish. You no longer have that salt about you. You've lost your savor, your flavor. You're no longer preserved. You become a pillar of salt. The salt is of no use, trodden under feet, as the Bible says. And that is a clear sign. When you get too close to the world, you identify as a Christian too close to the world, when you rely too much on the world's resources, this is what happens. You spiritually begin to turn into a pillar of salt. The Holy Spirit is no longer speaking. You're no longer hearing what he's saying. You're now going to be governed by your heart, your emotions, your affections. You see, this is why we have to be sensitive, attuned. We have to regularly allow the Word of God in which to speak into our lives and hearts. In prayer, a prayer life, so that the Holy Spirit can keep us sensitive, open, attuned. Yes, we might be going through trials. Yes, we may be battling. Yes, there may be temptations, but that sensitivity of hearing God and allowing God to work is there, and that is imperative. You must nurture that. You must preserve that inner area of your heart and communication with God. Because that is what the enemy is after, in which to mar that communication. And before you know where you are, you're listening more than to man, and the wisdom of the world are not the wisdom of God. We are in these closing days that we live in. Are we not beginning to see the warnings and the signs that God will judge the world? Every day it seems now that the news gets worse and worse. Well, what is that telling us? It's speaking to us that we are getting nearer and nearer, and that we're to look up as our redemption draws near. What does Luke 17 verses 26 to 37 tell us? Luke 17 verse 26 to 37. Let's read this. I know we know these well. And as it was said in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that the Lord went out of Sodom to rain fire, brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all, even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and he and his goods are in his house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there'll be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, the other left. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together." So there is very clear signs of what is to unfold. And there it clearly reveals that there's going to be a snatching away. In whatever state we're in, whether we are at work, we're in bed, we're with someone, or whatever it would be, suddenly a snatching away, catching up, because we're getting near. And the enemy, if he doesn't try to destroy our salvation, he will try and certainly stop us from being first fruits unto the Lord, overcomers, being prepared for the rapture, the calling away. We're seeing great events taking place now. And as I've said, as I bring this to a conclusion, we're now watching very carefully whether we're going to see whether Gog, Magog in Ezekiel 37 is to be unfolded with the bringing in of Russia, China, and probably Turkey, which could result in a World War III and maybe nuclear. Then the ushering in after of the Antichrist, We don't know yet. We're still waiting. We're still shelving this one. But we are in very interesting times, spiritually speaking. And we mustn't get too involved with the politics and the news of what we hear and read, as bad as it is. Israel is out of God's will at present and is like any other nation of the world. In fact, probably at the moment, is probably worse. However, we have to move beyond that, and we have to stay with scripture and prophecy that God will restore and bring back a remnant, because the main thrust, the main political debate, the spiritual warfare is the land of Israel. That is what it is. It is controversial because Jesus is going to rule and reign from there. That is where he is setting up his kingdom. And little wonder the enemy is trying to stop that, because he's going to overrule Satan. And it's controversial. A lot of it, morally, ethically, doesn't look right at all. But we have got to look beyond that, brothers and sisters, in our prayers and intercessions. And this is why we need to pray for Israel, because of this that's going on. From the world's point of view and politically, she's doing a lot of bad, wrong things. But from God's view, and from the remnant that he has, and that it is a chosen land, a promised land, where Christ is going to rule and reign, that is what we look to and pray and intercede on. It's not always easy to discern, to test things, and it's not going to get easy as things get even worse outwardly. And that is why we must stay with the Word of God, God's future, his divine plan, how he's unfolding this, how he will restore in the last days, and how, when he comes to rule and reign upon the earth. Until then, it's times of trouble, perplexity, wars, rumours of wars, and so on. But this is a time where we must allow the Holy Spirit, that we do not get involved with any of it, but that we remain separate, set apart. And as we remain set apart, then we're able to pray effectively. We're able to hear and discern what the Spirit is saying. And that is the most important thing, because that also influences and helps our prayers and intercessions, praying the perfect will of God. So there we are, brothers and sisters. The removal of the world from our hearts. Let God continue to do that. And let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church now in this hour, and what he's saying to FGA, because this enables us to be able to continue to move forward, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Hallelujah.